this is such a great time of year where we get to start thinking about Thanksgiving and spending time with family and then Christmas right around the corner. And it's never too early to start thinking about ways that you can actually do something to help somebody in need. That's why I love that we've partnered with Food for the Hungry and the Chicken of the Month Club. Now, this is a subscription-based option, kind of like you do like Socks of the Month and things like that. This is where you can send two chickens to a family in need for only $28 a month. And you might be thinking, why chickens? I don't even know the first thing to do. If someone gave me a chicken, I'd be like, what do I do with this? But these people in these developing countries, they know how to maximize that resource.
Yeah, and one other good thing about having chickens is that they lay eggs. I mean, I'm pretty sure, not that I know much about chickens, but that they lay eggs every day, I believe.
A lot of eggs, yes.
So,
quote her on that.
That's helpful.
And that's how families can earn extra income, by selling eggs. Plus, the nutrition for families that deal with food insecurity. Don't tell the chickens about that, but it's a great source of protein. And they can also sell the chicks to other families as well. And so there's another income opportunity as a side hustle for them as well.
Another great thing about chickens is that they multiply pretty fast. So when they're selling those baby chicks, the families can get the income that they need that can help them reach their goal even quicker.
And another thing I love about this, it's not a handout, it's a hand up. And if that kind of resonates with you, it's a great thing to do this holiday season. You can help provide two chickens every month to a family for just $28 a month. You can check it out at fh.org/Wally Show. That's fh.org/Wally Show, or text the word chicken to 91979. That's chicken to 91979. We'll send you a link. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All those things we did not get to during the course of the show today, including something that was on TV during our show. It kind of caught us all off guard. We're like, oh my goodness. And we started talking about it just in the room. I'm like, okay, everyone stop. We're saving this for the Aftercast because I don't want to know too many opinions. But here's the overall story. So there's a couple that goes to IVF treatments, and they have their embryo embedded in the wife, and she gives birth to the baby, and then after the baby's born, they're like,
doesn't look like us at all.
The husband's like, hey, this doesn't look like either one of us. And the wife had said, yeah, the baby kind of had like Asian looking characteristics to her,
and they're both Caucasian.
Yeah, and so they're both probably judging each other, but where it was like an in vitro type thing, it was done in a lab, you know, so there's no infidelity or anything. So it raises this question. So they go a couple months of trying to figure it out. And then
in the meantime, she's breastfeeding this child. She's raising it as her own.
She had it. You know,
she
delivered it naturally. And so then they do a DNA test, and it comes out 2 months later, this is not their baby.
Oh, right.
But then the plot thickens. There's more. The embryo that they had saved was also implanted into another woman.
But they didn't know that.
Not at the time.
Because they thought, wait, we just had someone else's baby for them.
Right.
Did our baby even get born?
This is a real difficult thing because we are playing God with a lot of things in medical advancements. And I fully understand that. Like, look, if you're trying to have a baby in vitro, you're thinking this is the greatest thing in the world. And there's a lot of good to it. But there's also a lot of responsibility. It's the Spider-Man principle. With great power comes great responsibility. Because when you start doing this, you get into ethical things. Mm-hmm. And questions of not morality, but more like these ethics of, well, what do I do now? Do I get to keep this baby because I delivered it, I carried it, but even though it's not your embryo, or
has any of your genetics?
Yeah, it has
nothing.
None of your genetics, you know. So
right.
Basically, you were a surrogate. You know, again, that's another thing that you raise all these questions as you advance in something, and you've got to have the wherewithal to have processes precedent to work through these things to keep these disasters from happening. So then it flashed forward to this other couple got their embryo and had their baby. So good news.
It's at least contained between two families.
And each of them had a child. Like, because like you had said earlier, Betty, when I stopped you, you were like, what if one, you know, person, the one couple, their embryo didn't take and they didn't have the child?
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got a child and you have to give it back, and then you got
and
nothing.
You have nothing.
Right.
Yeah,
that'd be hard.
That's so bad. And also the woman, as she's talking, the mother, you know, she's saying, we gave this baby up and now we're having to learn about our own baby.
Right.
You know, you've gone 2 months and you didn't know anything about them. And those 2 months, I know a lot of women say those are detrimental to,
sure.
or they're needed
right.
to build that bond between a mom and their child. Well, you don't have that.
Yeah.
And now all your life, you're going to have this story behind this child. You have all these pictures of this baby. I mean, to a degree, I'm thinking that if it didn't look anything like them, they're probably wondering this whole time when they're raising
right.
him, is this really our child or not?
Right.
But that's so hard because you want to be happy and...
Yeah, but fortunately, they did figure it out, and then we were all like, did they switch? I mean, because the thing makes sense to, if this is your biological child, and this other couple had a biological child, you both just took turns babysitting, in essence. You know? And like, so look at it that way. Switch the kids, move on. But I thought there might be like a legal fight, because the other couple could have been like, well, no, I carried this child. I know it's not my DNA, but I'm attached to it.
Right.
And fortunately, both couples were like, okay, let's switch.
But in essence, if you think about it, if they had said no, they would have been saying no to their own biological
right.
child.
Right.
How do you...
I don't know. I mean, that's where all these questions...
I don't know either.
I don't see how, like, women who do the surrogacy, I think they probably either for some people, it's a money thing, and for other people, it's I'm helping provide a child for a childless family, and so there's a calling in it for them, if you
mm-hmm.
will. And so I think that's how they can sidestep some of the emotion. But, like, mm-hmm. when you heard this one mom talking about, like, this child was inside of me, and I didn't get that with my own child, and, like, I don't know if she's playing that up for the lawsuit, because there is a lawsuit, or is that something that women truly like feel? I know my wife, you know, talking about having Haley, she's like, oh, she was part of me. And that's something that guys can never understand, you know, that she's mm-hmm. like, she was a part of me and we're connected, you know?
Right. Well, and also think about this, had one family been Caucasian and the other one Caucasian,
oh, sure.
would they have ever even known?
Maybe not.
And then it makes you think, are there babies out there that really don't know?
Right.
You know, that they're not with their own family. We don't know. Another thing that I want to say is a roommate that I used to have, her sister was a surrogate for a Korean family. And they got paid very good for it. She only did it once, but they actually even had family pictures taken. So this is my roommate's sister. Okay. She's married, got two kids already of her own, and now she's pregnant as a surrogate. They're taking family photos, like fall family photos, and she's pregnant in it, but they got those pictures like, you know, printed off and everything, framed and stuff.
Of their family. Okay, I thought you meant with the Korean family.
No, the Korean family.
Okay.
And that's the thing, too. The Korean family couldn't even see, her name is Brittany, the girl that I know, but they couldn't even see Brittany because of the pandemic
COVID.
That was
going on.
And so there was a time where they were worried, thinking, we're going to have to raise this child because the parents aren't actually going to be able to be here for the birth.
than you bargained for.
But it all worked out and everything's fine. But they had been telling their children, like, mommy's pregnant.
Yeah, that was so hard to explain to your kids.
But this baby is not going to stay with us. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and if you're a kid, you're like, well, are you going to get rid of me too? Like, I'm serious.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, and now Brittany, she's pregnant for fourth time, I suppose.
Oh, wow.
But this is with her own baby. So,
wow.
But this will be their third. Their third, her fourth.
That is...
Pregnant?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the thing, man. Like, all of this stuff, when you start getting into these worlds where ethics and science collide, you know, in all these extenuating circumstances that sometimes you don't really foresee being a thing, and then all of a sudden it is, and then you have to make the decision, what do we do in this case?
Right. And I know some friends of mine that have actually walked through this. I have one that's going through it right now with her husband, but in the past I've had a friend that went through it, and she was telling me, which I didn't even think about until she pointed it out, but she said that her and her husband had to go in and they had to sign papers about, if we get a divorce, where are these embryos going? Who are they going to?
Oh, man.
If I die or he dies, can he still have these embryos with another woman? Or can she have these embryos and they be raised by another man?
Wow.
Like, they had to sign all these different papers. And then if both of them died,
what
do these embryos
then?
Get destroyed?
Yes.
And if they don't get destroyed, are you letting them be adopted?
Right.
Because they can be adopted.
Right. I mean, like, that's, again, the
But then you have, that means you have a biological child that's just out there that you may never know.
Because the embryos are already, you know, fertilized, and so...
And these are Christian people, right. too, so I don't know how you...
Yeah, like, how do you... Because believe... You can't even though it's frozen...
Do you destroy it?
Right, you're like, well, I don't believe in abortion, and so is this the same thing?
Yeah.
Like, again, the moral... compass on this would be so hard. And while you celebrate the advancement, it's great, but then how do you deal with all of the other, you know, fringe problems that arise from the advancement? That's tough.
But then again, like, you think about, you know, I know that in the past I've heard some people say, I don't understand why you would go through IVF when there's so many kids out there that need adopted. And I get that,
right,
that to some degree too. But I also know that they're speaking to friends of mine that have always just wanted to be mothers.
Yeah.
There's something ingrained in them where they just want to be pregnant. They want to experience that whole life.
It's like
step.
And honestly, you can't judge that because
no.
it's easy to say, well, yeah, just go adopt a kid. I know great adoption stories and I know horrific adoption mm-hmm. stories, you know. And
I just watched a Dateline one about a terrible one. Yeah.
You don't know what it's going to play out as, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff. And so I get people's trepidation of mm-hmm. maybe not wanting to go that route. And I think you have to respect that. I think you can't look at somebody's life and go, well, you know, why are you unsatisfied with not having a baby, you know, when there's kids that you could adopt? You're a problem in this. You, mm-hmm. why don't you solve a problem? Like, you got to give people that space to be like, yeah, this isn't for me. Adoption affects so many people that you have to all be on the same page. I wanted to adopt. Back when Haley was younger, I think she was like 5. And it was something I really wanted to do, and I thought it would be great because I think it's one of the coolest things that we can do. And my prayer, though, in it was I was like, you know what, God, if this is a thing for us, I need everyone to be on the same page. Yeah, I need Marty to agree to it. I need Haley to agree to it. I need Betty to sign off on it.
Well,
Gavin.
I don't want
I need everyone in my life to say this is a great idea. No, I wanted Marty and Haley to both be on the same page. Mm-hmm. And we never, all of us at the same time, we're never on the same page. And so to me, it was like, okay, I'm not going to force something and bring something into the house that could end up backfiring on us if everyone wasn't bought in. Because then it's all on me. You know, like, if everyone had been bought in and we brought somebody in and it just went south, then it went south. And it's mm-hmm. what you all knew was going to happen and you're all bought in, and that's okay. You know, you can deal with that, but I couldn't deal with the other, you know. And so that was something that, I guess if you were to say, do you have any regrets in life? There are regrets of ways I've treated people in the past that I should have been better to, like in my past career, and the adoption thing. I think those would be my only regrets, but they're not like life-altering, like, oh, I'm lamenting this. It was just things that if I could go back and change something, that would be two things I would change.
Right, right.
So there you go.
Well,
speaking of going back and looking back, Scottie Pippen, NBA star Scottie Pippen, released a new memoir. And because Michael Jordan had one recently, it was a documentary about his life. What was that called, Gavin?
The Last Dance documentary.
Yes. And so about Michael Jordan and how great he was, and everybody loved Michael Jordan. But then in the first two pages of his memoir, Scottie Pippen's like, Jordan was selfish. And you're like, wait, what?
Ooh.
And so he's talking about how their on-court chemistry was great, but their off-court stuff was not good. And a lot of people had problems with Jordan off the court and in the locker room, but that wasn't the story. He was America's guy, you know, as far as in sports back then. He was it. He was the pinnacle mm-hmm. of what athletes should be. But then when you hear the backstory, that wasn't so much the case.
Yeah, there's a lot of drama that came from the Last Dance documentary
yeah.
and like how he basically took this, I think, 8-part series, called out like a lot of people, including teammates, and now you've got Scottie writing a book calling out Michael Jordan.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you probably ask any of these guys, like, oh, would you rather
right.
have not been on the same team and won 6 NBA championships?
Right.
None of those guys would, you know.
No.
None of those guys. No, like, these guys are kind of, in my head, I feel like these guys are kind of whining right now.
Sure.
They're like the great, they were part of the greatest dynasty in sports history. Calm down.
Yeah, it's like, and everybody, like, had to still deal with Dennis Rodman and his
oh
nonsense.
My goodness.
Like, you don't put up with that if you don't really want to win.
Yeah.
Like, you could be best friends and, hey, we're all friends and we're the Wizards, you know, and you never win anything.
Yeah.
Did they win something ever? Maybe they might have. The Washington Wizards?
I don't know. It does not
ring a
come
bell
to my brain. So, yeah.
So it's maybe. I think these guys would always choose to be winners and just, that's the tough thing. Like sports, you know, we tell our kids we want them to get along and be a good teammate and all these other things. When you get into professional sports, it's a business.
Yeah.
And you just have to deal with
millions
people.
Of dollars.
It's just like any business you work at. You might have somebody that you work with, you have to do teams with, but you don't like them, but you just, for the sake of getting through, you do it because it's work. And it's the same way in sports. It's a job.
Yeah, but I do see there being goodness in, let's say Scottie Pippen saw how negatively that maybe impacted him and other people personally at the time. He has the power to say to his kids, if they wanted to pursue careers in this world, saying like, hey, go and pursue this thing, be great, but be great to people as well. Because I think that there's goodness in that.
I did like he said, he was asked if he thought that Jordan would have been as successful without Pippen, and Pippen said no. And you're like, okay, but then he flipped it around, though, and he said, but I don't think I would have been successful without him.
Oh, he definitely wouldn't have.
And that was smart. But see, that was smart because that's the thing. Sometimes the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
Yeah.
And if you change one person in that dynamic, you change Rodman out, and it's a different dynamic.
Who knows?
It's like doing radio shows. You change one of us out, and the show is completely different, you know? And for me, I contend that you have... You're dealing with people at work, and you can work with people you don't like, and you get through it, and you just make the product. Sports is one layer up from that where you have to have chemistry, and you have to work things on the basketball court, but then you can shut it off and walk away. Mm-hmm. I think ours is one layer farther than that of, like, you have to have chemistry in the room and enjoy each other's company, and you have to like each other off the air. You share an office with each other, and you're talking about life and everything like that, and if you don't like each other, radio shows don't work.
It's kind of like a band.
Yeah, exactly. And those bands, some of them last, but they don't like each other. And I was in a working relationship with somebody that we didn't like each other. It was miserable. And it eventually ended. And so to hold on to something for this many years is pretty special. Like, Betty Rock and I have been working together for 14 years, you know, which is crazy. I know you got a little sad just now. I think it's teary-eyed of thinking of the good times, right?
Whatever makes you smile.
Not what could have been.
See, and this is the problem. This is where
I'm the problem.
Yeah, we're not going to make it much longer. So anyway, there you go. He did say at the end of this, I thought it was interesting. They say, how do you want, you know, when it comes to legacy, how do you want to be remembered to Scottie Pippen? And he's like, as the greatest of all time. I'm like, I hope you're kidding, because Jordan already has that.
The teammate to the greatest of all time.
Yeah, exactly.
Is what he is. And to be fair, like, he was the greatest teammate to the greatest of all time. Like,
right.
They are, like, Jordan and Pippen are very synonymous with each other for that run. So.
But different skill sets for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lady Rock, what do you got for a little bit of least of these?
Well, this is interesting. So Jeff Bezos, the billionaire of Amazon, he was recently at an outing with his new girlfriend, and were seeing a video went viral of this girlfriend of his. Now, keep in mind, this woman, her name is Lauren Sanchez. She's on the arm of Jeff Bezos. Mm-hmm. They're walking like a red carpet or something, and Leonardo DiCaprio is there. Okay, well,
if you're bald Jeff Bezos, billionaire bald Jeff Bezos, you have to hate seeing Leo walking.
Oh, and
up.
In the video, it looks like Bezos is like maybe 5 foot tall.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
he's the same height as his girlfriend, whereas Leonardo DiCaprio is so much taller, and she's looking up to him, and you can see in the video she's just like all giddy
fawning.
And just like and there's Bezos on her arm on the red carpet. Anyways, so this video went viral, and it's called Leo, Mr. Steal Your Girl. So anyway, Jeff responded by posting a picture of himself in the woods. He's like at a park or something, and there's a sign that says danger, steep cliff, fatal drop. And it's Bezos. He's leaning on the cliff, and he says with a caption, Leo, come over here. I want to show you something.
That's so great.
So you know that he doesn't want Leo. And here's the thing. He's got all the money.
I know.
But so does Leo.
Yeah. Leo's wealthy. He ain't Bezos wealthy.
But
realize how short Bezos was.
Yeah. That's really funny, man. You're like, okay, I've got everything. I've got all this money, but I still am overshadowed by
Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah.
That's funny.
And the
poor
video.
Jeff Bezos.
The video is hilarious. I wonder if they're going to stay together. you know, like after all this.
Not now. Like if I'm the richest guy in the world and I find out that my girlfriend really likes Leonardo DiCaprio, I'm out. You know, like I'm done.
She's super flirty with him.
Oh, yeah, that's not good. That's not good at all.
Yeah.
What do you have for birthdays, Rock?
Well, we've got a few, so here we go.
Buttercup!
Okay. Jamie wants to wish her sister, Carrie, a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Carrie
is my best friend, a great mama to a boy and girl, four-year-old twins.
Wow.
Whew.
That's a lot.
And they keep life interesting,
yeah,
I'm sure. Megan wants to wish Christian a happy birthday, saying he's the most determined 9-year-old ever who loves sharks. I think that's her polite way of saying he's got a lot of energy.
I love the rebranding.
Yeah. And then Kelsey and Carla want to wish Violet a happy birthday. She is their daughter, said she loves horses, Hank, the cow dog, and all kinds of creatures in God's creation.
Nice.
And then we've got Nick, who wants to wish his grandma a happy birthday.
Yeah, taking care of Grams, Nick.
Well done.
So Nick said put a lot of emphasis in this. He said, she's really good at her job.
Yeah.
And she's practically a saint.
Nice.
I think I did a good
you
enough
did good.
Emphasis.
You did good at okay. that. I'm curious if she knows how to work podcasts, you know, but like.
Maybe he'll play it for her.
Maybe so.
Maybe she's hard of hearing, too.
Maybe so.
Grandma, happy birthday.
Oh.
Okay. Here is the question. Oh.
She'll find out she's like 50.
Yeah, yeah. She's a young grandma.
Yeah.
Here's the question. What part of a kid's movie completely scarred you?
Oh, that's a good question.
So I'll start.
Okay.
Mine is 1987's Brave Little Toaster. Now, before we play this, this is a song that was in the movie. It's called Worthless.
No. Oh.
And what it is the Brave Little Toaster.
What it is my theme song.
So he's in a junkyard and he's seeing all of these old cars talking about what they used to do, what they did when they were in the prime of their lives. But they're on this conveyor belt and it's going to this machine that's about
just
to crush
them.
Yeah. And you see their parts like flying everywhere. Oh, it's terrible. And at one part, like a air conditioning unit like has a panic attack or something and blows up, and then they get swallowed in quicksand. The brave little toaster, he gives his life for his owner. Like, it's just so many things. But anyways, here is Worthless.
I just can't seem to get started. Don't have the heart to live in the fast lane. All that is past and gone.
Wow. For a minute, it started to sound like that. What was that thing? I'm a maniac, maniac. Oh. That song from whatever that movie was. What was that movie? Was that Fame? No.
You're thinking about the one where she pulls the chain and the water comes down.
Yeah, like she's a welder. Just a steel town girl on a Saturday
she's
night.
A maniac.
For the right of her
life. Movie. People are probably screaming at their speakers right now. It is Flashdance.
That's it. Yeah, thank you very much.
Anyways,
I never saw that, actually.
To the Brave Little Toaster.
Sorry. Wholesome,
okay.
More wholesome.
It's definitely one that you don't want your children to watch because it's so sad.
Yeah, there are. Because
now it ends well.
Right.
But there's a lot.
But there are things you have to show, like.
One gets electrocuted.
Oh, Lord.
I'm telling you.
You have to show the dark to show the light. And, like, Disney movies understand that. Bambi's mom, dead. Dead. X's
Mother!
In the eyes. I know. Hey, Mom, let's just go play over here.
We made it.
Yeah. So
Fox the Hound does the same thing. Oh, where Todd's mom gets shot at the beginning.
Hey, and let's talk about Frozen. Parents dead. You know, like.
Disney movies in general.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
Amazing.
Here's one that will scar you. Pluto, an old version of Pluto. He throws a cat in a well to drown it.
I saw
Did you see
that? And I forgot all about. No. Did he?
Yeah.
It was definitely stuck in a well.
No, he threw it in a well because he was jealous. He threw the cat in a well
Pluto.
To drown it.
I don't like Pluto anymore.
I know, right?
That's
like,
terrible.
That will scar you. I think the thing that scared me or scarred me the most was the Muppets. I hate the Muppets. I've never been a fan. And then there was this one Muppet that would blow things up with a dynamite plunger. And for whatever reason, as a little kid, that character scared me. He was like real creepy looking and he just blew things up. And so
Muppet.
Dynamite.
Did you say toilet plunger?
Dynamite plunger.
A dynamite.
How did you get toilet plunger out
plunger.
Of dynamite?
All I heard was plunger.
Okay,
I was like,
yeah.
Well, maybe you had bathroom issues
as
a kid.
Yeah, it terrified me.
Crazy Harry?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Maybe that's him.
He was terrifying.
Oh. Oh, wait. Is it this guy? This guy?
Yes, that's him! Oh my God! Turn it away!
So he's a gray little guy with a green... He kind of looks like a zombie version of Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, it's
something.
Weird. It's weird. That scared me. Gavin, everything scares you.
I know.
What scared you?
We had you guys mentioned Fox and the Hound earlier, and I just remember the scene towards the end when they're in the forest on that trail... And the big bear pops out.
Yes.
And I think the owner's got like his foot in like a bear trap or something, and they're trying to fight off the bear. Mm-hmm. I thought bears are going to be like a much bigger problem that we faced.
Yeah. Like as a kid. That and quicksand.
I was like, man, I'm going to run into bears every day when I grow up, and I'm going to have to know how to escape.
That was scary.
I will say, speaking of bear traps, The Quiet Place 2. Oh, and I'm not going to give anything away, but the kid steps in a bear trap. You should have seen it by now.
So
but it's not like totally integral to the thing. But like, okay, so he steps in this big animal trap. Ka-ka! Gets his ankle or gets his leg. And so really, that's going to break your leg in half. Like, that's what they're designed to do.
It's for a bear.
Yeah, so somehow she gets him out of this thing, and then they just hobble along.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, yes, it cut him, but, like, no, like, you, like, you're done for, you know?
I'm telling you, there was a lot to the second one that I was like, this wouldn't pass.
Yeah.
It wouldn't pass because the girl that's deaf is going out on her own.
Right.
There's no way.
There were
There's
a
no
couple
way.
Jump moments in that, though.
Oh, like, for sure.
That I'm in the movie theater watching this, and I literally yelled, Lord, no! No, no! Like,
oh, that's the
it
one.
It was humiliating.
Oh, yeah. There was one. Okay, so when they think they're getting away in the car,
yeah,
and then one of them jumps on the car. That was the video. That was the movie where I surprised myself because I wasn't prepared, and I said, Jesus, paint it all!
Yeah. It gets me. Like, there's a... And I've started finding myself more vocal in movie theaters. I think after a year of being at home, or 2 years watching movies, you know, download and watch them at home, and you can just kind of be loud and talk, and then you forget that you go to a movie theater and it startles you and you just yell stuff out now. And I never had done that before, but now I'm all like talking about it, talking through the movie. All right, well, I think that is going to do it for your Aftercast for today,
and today is a big day for Wally because he's getting a meatloaf sandwich because his mommy's in town, and
so
she's going to make him a meatloaf sandwich. Doesn't sound good to you, join the club.
It is delightful. Haley, I made Haley eat meatloaf last night.
You made her eat meatloaf.
She's like 23, and I don't think she's really had much. I'm like, just try it. You might love it. And she tried it, and her grandmother's sitting there right next to her, and she takes a bite, and I see it in her face, and she's choking it down. And she looks at me and just kind of mouths, I don't really care for this. And so then I don't want to hurt my mom's feelings. So I'm like, you know, I'm like, baby, you don't have to eat it. Do you have your leftovers from last night? She's like, yes, I don't have to eat it. I'm like, you don't have to eat it. It's fine.
You're
more for me. Yeah, more for me.
Get in your car and leave.
Yeah, she didn't want to hurt her grandma's feelings. She's got a soul.
She's so tender.
Look into it. Yeah.
Me look into it. You look into it.
All right, we're going to be done. That's it for your Aftercast. Thanks for being a buddy.